الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in a previous class we have begun a discussion about أركان الحج والعمرة, about the pillars of الحج and العمرة. And we have seen that the pillars of عمرة are three, and if you add one to these same three, then that will make the pillars of الحج likewise. And that is al-ihram, the intention of entering into those sacred rites, and then al-tawaf, and then al-sa'i. These are all three pillars of umrah and al-hajj. And the fourth one, in addition for the pillars of al-hajj, is al-wukuf bi-arafah. Al-wukuf bi-arafah is to stand and be present in Arafah on the day of Arafah. And we have seen that although the tawaf is a pillar for both of them, the tawaf of hajj is different than the tawaf of umrah. The tawaf of hajj is different from the tawaf of umrah. And there are some detailed rulings with regards to these affairs. So before reading further, inshallah, we review what we were discussing in our previous class about al-ansak al-thalatha. Al-ansak al-thalatha, the three types of sacred rites. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, Al-Hajju Ashhurun Ma'lumat, that Al-Hajj is well-known months. Al-Hajj, the pilgrimage, this rite of worship, is performed in well-known months. Al-Hajju Ashhurun Ma'lumat, that Al-Hajj, the pilgrimage to the house of Allah, is performed in well-known months. It's been mentioned by al-Bukhari tariqan from the narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and it's been found and collected with a connected authentic chain in other books as well, that he mentioned radiallahu anhuma about this issue here, al-Hajj ashhurun ma'lumat, that these known months, they are Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, wa ashratu ayyamin min Dhul-Hijjah. The months of Hajj, they are Shawwal and Dhul-Qa'dah, or Dhul-Qa'dah, and ashratu ayyamin min Dhul-Hijjah. The month of Shawwal entirely, and the month of Dhul-Qa'dah entirely, and the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So these well-known months, which are the days for Al-Hajj, they begin on the day of Eid and they end on the day of Eid. They begin on the day of Eid and they end on the day of Eid. These months, the months of Hajj, the season of Hajj, they begin on Eid al-Fitr and they end on Eid al-Adha. Everybody with me? These are the days of Al-Hajj. Al-Hajju ashhuru ma'lumat, faman farada fihinna al-hajja فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ يَنِي مَنْ أَحْرَمَ فِيهِنَّ Whoever intends the ihram in these months, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ Then there should be no rafath, and there should be no sexual intercourse in the state of ihram, or anything else that would violate the rights of al-ihram. وَلَا فُسُوقَ And there should be no sin and transgression and actions of disobedience in any manner, wala jidala, and no arguing without right and disputing, raising one's voice over the people, fil hajj, while in the state of the pilgrimage. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ So these are the months that it's allowed to make ihram for hajj. These are the days, and this is the time that it's allowed to make al-ihram for hajj. As for other than these days, outside of these days, then the only ihram that can be made is for al-umrah. If it's not in these days here, in between Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, if it's not in these days, then the only ihram that is allowed and correct is the ihram for umrah. So al-hajj, a person can only enter into those sacred rites in these days. Everybody's with me? This is a point number one. الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج أي من أحرم فيهن بالحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج rajidala fil hajj. So this is the first point. Then we have the issue of al-umrah. The issue of al-umrah. And we've seen that the pillars of umrah, they are three. Who can remind us? Before that, al-ihram. The niyyah is called here ihram, ahsanta, tawaf, and sa'i. The ihram and the tawaf and the sa'i. These are the pillars. There are also wajibat that haven't come yet, but these are the pillars. These are the pillars. So to summarize in general, without going into a lot of details, a person is going to make umrah anytime in the year, in the months of Hajj or outside the months of Hajj. He will travel to the miqat and he will make ihram, and the intention to enter into the sacred rites before he passes the miqat, and he will do everything that he needs to do, from stripping his clothes, so on and so forth. All the details of this will come. Right now, we just want to have a general picture of these rites. These rites. He will travel to the miqat, and then he will make ihram from the miqat, and then he will begin the talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika laka. And he will repeat that all the way until he reaches Mecca, and he enters the masjid, and he sees the Kaaba. At this time, the talbiyah stops. And now he will come to the black stone and he will begin the tawaf. He will make tawaf seven times with the house on his left side. And after he makes tawaf seven times, then he comes behind Maqam Ibrahim and he prays two rak'ah. And then he will go to the sa'i and he will make sa'i from Safa to Marwa seven times, beginning on Safa. And he'll go to Marwa, this is one time. And then back to Safa, this is two times. And he'll do that seven times, ending on Marwa. And then he will shave his head. And now he's finished the sacred rites of Al-Hajj. This is in general. There's Sunan in there. And there's other things in there that will make it more complete and perfect, more details. But this is in general the Umrah. This is in general the Umrah. So these are the rites of Umrah. These are the rites of Umrah. Everybody understand? Whether you do it inside the season of Hajj or outside the season of Hajj, this is called Al-Umrah in general. So now we go back to Al-Ansak al-Thalatha. The three rites of performing the pilgrimage, which means the three manners and the three ways. The first way is called At-Tamattu', which means to take pleasure, literally. يتمتع تمتعاً, يعني to enjoy something and to take pleasure in something. يتمتع به. So here, a pilgrim, he will come in the days of Hajj. He will come in the days of Hajj, which are from the 1st of Shawwal all the way to the 10th. These are the days of Hajj. So he will come in those days, and most rightfully and properly before the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. He will intend to make tamattu'. And tamattu' is when you come in the days of Hajj, before Hajj begins, and you make Umrah. So you do the entire rites of Umrah, coming to the Ihram and finishing those rites and leaving the Ihram. And then you remain waiting for the days of Hajj. And then whenever the days of Hajj come, you enter back into the Ihram. You enter back into the Ihram now for Hajj. So he will come and make Umrah and finish. He come to Mecca in that sacred state, fulfill those sacred rites, come out of that sacred state, enjoy himself in Mecca. He can do whatever he likes. After he finishes the Umrah and he's done, he can have intercourse with his wife. He can put on perfume. He can wear his clothing. He can cover his head. All those things that were impermissible before are now again permissible for him once he finishes the rites of Umrah. You understand? So now he's waiting in Mecca for Hajj to begin. Whenever the 8th of Dhul Hijjah comes, now he'll make a new ihram. And that ihram will be for Hajj. And then he'll begin to proceed with the rites of Hajj until he finishes. So it's called tamattu' because this person, he takes the pleasure and the joy of completing two sacred rites in one journey. He completed two sacred rites in entirety in one journey. So he had the ease of this and the pleasure of coming to Mecca one time and completing both sacred rites. An entire Umrah, an entire Hajj. He completed both of them at one time. Also, along with that, in the same journey, while he's performing these rites of Hajj, in between the two rites, he's halal, and he's not in the state of ihram, meaning he's allowed to, again, have intercourse with his wife, and he's allowed to wear his garments normally, he's allowed to wear perfume normally, he's allowed to cover his head normally. He's back in the state of halal, not in the state of ihram, while he's on the journey for Hajj. So he enjoys himself in these two manners. So it's considered tamattu' from this aspect. You understand? It's considered tamattu' from this aspect. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ had ordered his companions to do. And he had hoped likewise to do sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that which prohibited him from that was the fact that he carried along with him on the journey the animal for slaughter. So if somebody carries the animal for slaughter along with them on the journey, yani side by side, then now he's not able to do tamattu'. Because the one who does this, he's not able to come out of his ihram until he slaughters his animal. These details will come inshallah likewise. So this is the issue. So now that's tamattu'. So he makes the umrah. For example, maybe he will come this week because Hajj is very soon, right? What's today's date? The 28th of Dhul Qa'dah. So then that means maybe Friday or Saturday is going to be the first of Dhul Hijjah. So maybe he'll come today or next week, for example. And he will come, and when he gets to the miqat, he will take off his clothes, put on the ihram, and make the intention, and go to Mecca and make umrah. And then he'll finish his umrah. Umrah maybe takes 1 hour, 2 hours, depending on a person's strength and depending on the crowd. Yani he will make it briefly. He'll make umrah after Fajr, by sunrise, or a little after sunrise, or between Asr and Maghrib, or between Maghrib and Isha, for example. He'll make umrah in a relatively quick time and finish and come out of that state. And then he will sit in Mecca while he's in the state of halal. He's not in ihram. He can proceed as he likes normally, alhamdulillah, in his clothing, with his perfume, with his family, alhamdulillah, waiting for the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. Then when the 8th of Dhul Hijjah comes in the morning, he will enter back into ihram, inside Mecca, with the intention of Hajj. And then he will proceed to Mina. Then he'll proceed to Mina in the morning time. He will stay in Mina the 8th, which is Yawm Tarwiyah. Yawm Tarwiyah. They call it Yawm Tarwiyah because in this day they used to prepare the water skins, preparing the water skins for the animals and for the journey, for the animals and the journey. So they call it Yawm Tarwiyah. So on this day he's going to go to Mina. He's going to go to Mina. He's going to pray Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha and Fajr, all in Mina. And he's going to shorten the prayers that are 4 units to 2. But he's going to pray each prayer at its proper time. This is Sunnah. Each prayer at its proper time. This is the 8th day of Dhul Hijjah when it first enters into Ihram for Hajj. And then after Fajr, the next day, which is the 9th day of Dhul Hijjah, which is Yawm Arafah, the day of Arafah. Inshallah, we will be fasting on this day for those who are not making Hajj. So for those who are making Hajj, they're going to proceed at Dhuhr time. Whenever the Dhuhr time comes, they want to be in Arafah. So they're going to go in the morning in the Dhuhr time. And so what they will be in Arafah from Dhuhr until Maghrib. From Dhuhr until Maghrib. So they'll go from Mina to Arafah. And they want to enter Arafah at Dhuhr time. And they spend the day there calling on Allah and begging Him and being devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll pray Dhuhr and Asr combined at Dhuhr time and shorten both of them and spend the rest of the day calling and begging Allah Azza wa Jal. Calling and begging Allah Azza wa Jal all the way till Maghrib. When Maghrib comes, they will not pray Maghrib there, whether they'll leave and go to Al-Muzdalifah. Whenever they get to Muzdalifah, they'll put their things down, and briefly after that, they'll establish the Maghrib prayer, and they'll combine it with the Isha prayer, with one Adhan and two Iqamah. And they'll shorten the Isha prayer, and then they'll spend the night in Muzdalifah. And then at Fajr time, they'll pray the Fajr in Muzdalifah, and then they will spend after the Fajr in Muzdalifah calling on Allah Azza wa Jalla and making dua. Calling on Allah and making dua until the sunlight has become bright, but the sun has not risen yet. And it almost sunrise. Whenever there's day, the daylight is showing greatly, hatta yusfir jiddin, but before the sunrise. And then they'll leave out and go back to Mina. And then they'll stone the large jamrah, and then they'll go from there to make tawaf. to make tawaf. They'll go from Muzdalifah back to Mina, they'll stone the large jamrah alone, and they'll do that in the morning time after sunrise. They'll get there after sunrise, and then they will shave their head, and they will slaughter the hedi, and they will go to Mecca and make tawaf al-Fadha. This day is Eid. This is the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. This is Yom al-Nahr. So these are the actions of Yom al-Nahr. So they're going to come from Muzdalifah on the 10th, which is Eid, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. After they're going to reach Mina after the sunrise, they're going to stone the jamrah, the large one, and then they're going to slaughter the animal and shave their head, and then they're going to make tawaf. And these are the days, the actions on the day of Eid for the Hajj is in the term ranhat. Ra Nun ha ta ranhat. This is rami, the rami. They're going to stone the jamrah first, and then the nahr, the slaughter of the animal, the hedi, for those who have that, and then they're going to make halq, shave their head, and then they're going to make tawaf in this order. In this order, this is the proper order of the sunnah of the rites of that day. Although it's allowed to put one in front of the other, to put one in front of the other. Three of these rites, all of them they have to perform, and that is the rami, and the shaving or shortening the hair, and making tawaf. So to come out of the ihram for the person making hajj is in two stages. First time the small one, and then the major one. So the small one comes by doing two of those three, by doing two of the three, by stoning the jamrah and shaving or shortening the hair, or by stoning the jamrah and making tawaf ifadah, or by shaving and shortening the hair, making tawaf ifadah. And he does two of these three. If you do two out of three of them, you will come out of the ihram at tahallul al-awwal. Tahallul al-awwal. He stones the jamrah, and that's jamrah al-aqabah on the day of Eid, and he shaves his head. Now he comes out of the ihram the first time, meaning he can put his clothes back on, and he can put perfume on, he can wear a hat again. The only thing he can't do is have sexual intercourse until he finishes the tawaf. After he finishes the tawaf, now he comes out entirely. Now he comes out entirely. You understand? So then he's finished with the rites, except for he still has to stay in Mina for the days of Tashrik, either 2 or 3 days, according to his decision. And then after that, the rites, they're over. So now we have a general picture of the rites of Hajj. The rites of Umrah and the rites of Hajj. The rites of Umrah and the rites of Hajj. So the tawaf for the Umrah is the one that you do right when you get there to make Umrah. This is the pure for Umrah. And the tawaf for Hajj is the tawaf that's made on Eid. Tawaf al-Ifada. That's on the day of Eid. That's on the day of Eid. So if you're going to make tamattu', you're going to come, like we mentioned, and you make tamattu', you make Umrah, and you come out of the ihram, and you wait for hajj, and then you make hajj, and you come out of the ihram, you finish both rites. You understand that? This is tamattu'. The other way is called qiran. The other way is called qiran. And this person is considered as he performed the umrah and the hajj, but he only performs the actions of hajj. He has the intention to include umrah and the hajj. So he's performing umrah and hajj at the same time by way of intention. But he'll only perform the actions of Hajj. He will only perform the actions of Hajj. So two people may come on the same day. We'll say they come tomorrow. One of them has the intention to do tamattu'. So what would he do? He'll come first and make Umrah. And then come out of his ihram and sit and wait for Hajj. The other one, he has the intention to make Qiran. So he will come likewise. He will also enter the ihram. But he will not come and make Umrah. He will not come and make Umrah. Rather, he will come to Mecca and he will sit and wait. You understand? Because he's not making tamattu', he's making Qiran. So his Umrah is included in his intention. He's only going to make the actions of Al-Hajj. He's only going to make the actions of Al-Hajj. So this person, he's not coming into Mecca with Umrah. He's coming into Mecca for Hajj. And Hajj is in several days. So he's going to come with the Ihram, because he can't come with the intention to make Hajj past those limits, even if he's a bit early in the days of Hajj. In the days of Hajj. So he has the intention to come for Qiran. So it's legislated for him and a sunnah for him, that for him and for anyone who comes to Mecca, that whenever you come the first time to the Masjid al-Haram, that you make tawaf as a sunnah. Anybody who arrives in Mecca and he comes to Masjid al-Haram, the sunnah is to make tawaf. This is like the tahiyyah. The tahiyyah to Masjid al-Haram is not to rak'ah like it is, it's to make tawaf around the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this person who's making qiran, he's not coming to make umrah, but he is arriving to the sacred house. So it's a sunnah for him to make tawaf. This tawaf here is called tawaf al-qudum. Tawaf al-qudum. So some of the people of knowledge, they also call it the tawaf of umrah, tawaf qudum. And from the aspect that it's the first thing that one does whenever they arrive in Mecca, in al-Masjid al-Haram. The first thing they do upon arrival is they make tawaf. So from this aspect, it's called tawaf qudum. And the right of the mu'tamir, the one making umrah, this is a pillar from his rights. It must be performed. And the right of the hajj, the one who's making qiran, it's a sunnah. It's a sunnah. It's not obligatory. He doesn't have to do it. If he does it, he has a reward, alhamdulillah. But if he doesn't, it's okay. You understand? Everybody understand? Naam. So this is the case. So this person who came, for example, he arrives in Mecca tomorrow with the intention to make qiran. The first thing he'll do whenever he arrives in Mecca, he'll make tawaf. He'll make tawaf. This tawaf here is sunnah, called tawaf al-qudum. He has a great reward for that. So this here is just sunnah. There's no sa'i connected to this. You understand? He just makes tawaf for arriving. But because he made tawaf and it's correct and legislated, if he likes, he can go ahead and make sa'i now. Because he has to make sa'i for his hajj. You understand? He has the intention to not make umrah physically. Umrah is included as an intention. He's called qarin. He's making qiran. So he'll come and make tawaf sunnah. And if he likes, after that, he can go make sa'i likewise. This sa'i will be considered from the pillar of hajj. This sa'i here is considered from the pillar of hajj. So we've seen that hajj, it has ihram, tawaf, sa'i, and Arafah, standing Arafah. So the ihram, he made the ihram, right? And as for the tawaf, this qudum here, this is only sunnah. That's only sunnah. But the sa'i after it can be included for the sa'i of hajj. You understand? Or if he likes, he cannot make sa'i now. Just make tawaf, sunnah, and sit and wait the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah to go to Mina and then go to Arafah and then Muzdalifah and the likes. And then on the day of Eid, go to Mecca and make tawaf al-Ifadah, which is a pillar for his rights. And then he'll make sa'i, which is a pillar for his rights. So the sa'i for the person making qiran has two places. Either after tawaf al-Qudum or after tawaf al-Ifadah. If he does it after tawaf al-Qudum, alhamdulillah, he's good. On the day of Eid, he'll just make tawaf. He'll just make tawaf. He doesn't have to make sa'i. He already made the sa'i for his hajj. You understand that? But if he didn't make sa'i after tawaf al-Qudum, then he has to make it after tawaf al-Ifadah. Tawaf al-Ifadah. Everybody with me? This is the case of the qarin. It's called qiran. The third one is similar, but there's slight differences. It's called ifrad, al-ifrad. لَنَّهُ يُفْرِدْ النُّسُكْ يُفْرِدْ النِّيَّ وَالْأَعْمَالِ He makes ifrad, and he singles out his intention and his actions for hajj only. For hajj only. So he does the same thing as the qarin. Only he doesn't have the intention to make umrah. He only has the intention to make hajj. So he does the same thing. The qarin and the mufrid, the one making qiran and the one making ifrad, they do the same actions. The difference between the two is that the one making qiran has the intention to include umrah with his rights. To include umrah with his rights. Everybody with me? But as for the actions, they're the same. He only performs the deeds of hajj. He only performs the deeds of hajj. Everybody together? There's one difference. And that is, since the person making qiran, he's able to go home with two sacred rights in one journey, then he's similar to the person making tamattu' from this aspect. So he also has to slaughter an animal, showing thanks to Allah. Showing thanks to Allah for achieving these sacred rites all in one journey. all in one journey. You understand? So sometimes you will find the scholars calling Al-Quran tamattu'. Sometimes they will find scholars referring to Quran as tamattu'. It's from this aspect. Because the person making Quran, he's performing both sacred rites in one journey. And he also has to slaughter them shukran for this as well, like the mutamattu'. So this aspect, Quran is a type of tamattu'. It's a type of tamattu'. You understand? Okay. So these are the three rites. So the one making ifrad, he will do the same thing like the qarin. He will come and make tawaf qudum for a sunnah. And if he likes, he can make the sa'i after that for hajj, or he can not make sa'i after that, and he can just wait and wait to go to Mina, and then to go to Arafah, and then to go to Muzdalifah, and then to come back to Mina, and then to go to Mecca and make tawaf al-ifadah, and after that, now he has to make sa'i. He has to make sa'i. The people of knowledge, they say that the sa'i has to be after tawaf and sahih. The sa'i has to be performed after tawaf sahih. You can't make sa'i before tawaf. You have to make tawaf before the sa'i. And the sa'i has to be after a correct tawaf. So this was what the Shaykh is referring to here. And it's going to, I hope, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, be easier to understand what is mentioning here. So we were on the third pillar, right? As-sa'i. Huh? No. Move al-ifrad. Yeah, yes. The person who makes the Qiran or the person who makes ifrad, once they enter their state of ihram, they do not come out all the way until they finish the rites on the day of Eid. All the way until they stone the jamrah on the day of Eid, he shaves his head and he makes tawaf al-ifadah. And he makes tawaf al-ifadah. So they will remain. They will remain in the state of ihram. That's what I was saying, the difference between the two, right? The person who made Umrah today, he'll make Umrah come out. He's back to normal, alhamdulillah. Nothing is haram for him that was normally permissible. As for the one who came with Qiran or Ifrad, he will come today and he will stay in that state of ihram all the way till he finishes the rites in Hajj on the day of Eid, or after that. If he doesn't finish until after that, he'll remain in the ihram. Or remain in the ihram. No. Two of three. Yeah, it's two of three. You have to do two of three. At-tahallul al-awwal, al-ithnayni min thalatha. Jazakallahu khairan. This is what I was forgetting. Ithnayni min thalatha. Because the mufrid, he only has three. The mufrid, he only has three. So whenever you do two of three, you come out. Jazakallahu khairan. So the coming out of the ihram is two aspects. The first one, which is the lighter manner, and then coming out of the ihram in entirety. There are two of them, then you come out the first tahallul. You come out the first tahallul. And you come out of the ihram, meaning you can put your clothes back on. For example, if you stone the jamrah and you shave your head, then you come out of the ihram, meaning you can put your clothes back on, and you can put perfume on, and you can cover your head, but you can't have sexual intercourse until you finish them. Until you finished it. That's the tahallul al-thani. When you finally make tawaf and you finish those rites, now you come out entirely. Now you come out entirely. These details will come to inshallah. Now inshallah, when we read these details, we can be able to picture a little better what is intended, because he's kind of the issues kind of get mutadakhila. And if you don't have any idea, you can't picture it in your mind, it's easy to get lost. So hopefully, inshallah, we're not going to get lost now. Everybody will be able to follow along. So we were on the third pillar, right? As-sa'i. So the Shaykh says, "Hafidhullah wa sa'yu lil-umrati ba'da at-tawaf, kama taqaddama min fi'lihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi umratay al-qada'i wal-ji'rana, wa hadith ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, wa sa'yu lil-hajji fi haqqi al-mutamatti' ba'da tawaf al-ifada, wa min qalin wal-mufrid fa ba'da tawaf al-qudum aw ba'da tawaf al-ifada." So he says now the sa'i for Umrah is after tawaf, as has proceeded from the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in those two, Umrah and al-Qadha' wal Ji'rana. This has proceeded from the hadith of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, and the sa'i for Hajj in the rite of the mutamatti' is after tawaf al-ifada. the sa'i for Hajj and the right of the mutamatti. The mutamatti, he already performed Umrah. So he performed the tawaf for Umrah. Now he has to perform the tawaf for Hajj. That tawaf, the sa'i for that tawaf is the sa'i for Hajj is after tawaf al-ifada. He already performed the sa'i, the tawaf and the sa'i for Umrah. That's over. Now he has to perform the tawaf and the sa'i for Hajj. The Shaykh is telling us that the sa'i for the mutamatti is after tawaf al-ifada. Is after tawaf al-ifada on the day of Eid. The first time of that will be for the day on the day of Eid. You can make it on the days of Tashriq likewise. But we're saying now the day of Eid, this is the best thing. So he says, وَالسَّعِي الْحَجِّ فِي حَقْلِ مُتَمَتِّعِ بَعْدَ طَوَافِ الْإِفَاضَةِ So the sa'i for Hajj, for the one who's making tamattu, is after tawaf al-ifadah. وَمَنْ قَارٍ وَمُفْرِدٍ As for the one who's making qiran, or the one who's making ifrad, then his tawaf, then his sa'i for Hajj, if I slip, you gotta correct me, huh? I'm saying these words, and Allahu al-Musta'an. Allahu al-Musta'an. So the one who is making qiran or ifrad, then his sa'i is after tawaf al-qudum or after tawaf al-ifadah. This is what we just discussed. This is what we just talked about. The one who's making qiran or the one who's making ifrad, then he can make sa'i for his hajj in two places. If not in the first one, then it must be in the second one. He can either make it after tawaf qudum or tawaf al-ifadah. Tawaf al-qudum when he first gets to Mecca. And tawaf al-ifadah, any after leaving from Arafah and Muzdalifah. After leaving from Arafah and Muzdalifah, tawaf al-ifadah. So he says, فَإِذَا لَمْ يَفْعَلْهُ بَعْدَ الْقُدُومِ لَازِمَ أَرِتْيَانُ بِهِ بَعْدَ الْإِفَاضَةِ So if the Qarin or the Mufrid did not bring the Sa'i after tawaf qudum, it's an obligation to bring it after tawaf al-ifadah, because the Sa'i is a pillar from Hajj. So this pillar for the one making Qiran or Ifrad is either going to be performed after qudum, tawaf al-qudum, or after tawaf al-ifadah. This is the point. قال الله عز وجل إن الصفا والمروة مشيعة لله فمن حج البيت أو اعتمر فلا جناح عليه أن يطوف بهما فلا جناح عليه أن يطوف بهما And this is based upon the statement of Allah the Most High that indeed الصفا والمروة are from the sacred rites and signs of Allah. So whoever makes the pilgrimage to the house or makes umrah, then there's no blame on him to make tawaf between the two of them. Between the two of them. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الناس اسعوا فإن السعي قد كتب عليكم And based upon the statement of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, O you mankind, O you people, اسعوا, make the سعي فإن السعي قد كتب عليكم Because the سعي has been prescribed upon you. كتب عليكم يعني فرض عليكم made an obligation upon you. So this is the evidence for the issue that we're discussing, that a sa'i is a pillar of hajj. It's a pillar of hajj. He says, رَوَاهُ الدَّرَقُدْنِي وَمِنْ طَرِيقِهِ الْبَيْهَقِي وَرِجَالُ الدَّرَقُدْنِي ثِقَاتِ إِلَّا مَعْرُوف ابن مشكال وَقَدْ قَالَ فِيهِ ابن حَجْر فِي التَّقْرِيب صَدُوقٌ فَيَسْنَادُ الْحَدِيثِ حَسَنٌ وَحَسَّنَهُ النَّوَوِي فِي الْمَجْمُوعِ وَصَحَّحَهُ الْمِزِّي وَابْنُ عَبْدِ الْحَادِي انظر إرواء الغليل Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. So he says that this narration here, O mankind, O you people, make the sa'i, for indeed has been prescribed upon you, and he made obligatory upon you, is narrated by Daraqutni. Daraqutni, and he has a sunan Daraqutni. He died in 385. So he's also from the narrators of hadith, and he has a reliable collection of narrations. But the narrations in the works after Bukhari and Muslim, they're not all authentic. And the authors of those works did not intend to collect only authentic narrations. Some who did likewise, even some of them were not actually authentic, like that which is found in Sahih ibn Khuzaymah, or in Sahih ibn Hibban, or in the Mustadrak of Al-Hakam. These still likewise, like Sunan Abi Dawud, and Jami' Tirmidhi, and Sunan Nasa'i, and Sunan ibn Majah, these books here, they require authentication. The narrations found therein, that they require authentication, and even that they'll be authenticated, because some of them are authentic and others they are not. So the Shaykh, he's discussing these affairs, clarifying that what he's mentioning are from these books, the narration of this the chain of this narration has been authenticated. So Daraqutni, he narrated in his book, and likewise from the same chain, Al-Bayhaqi, he narrated in his book, 458, died in 458. He said in the Min, in the chain of Dirakudni are all thiqat. They're all upright and reliable narrators except for Ma'ruf ibn Mishkal. Except for this one man, his name is Ma'ruf ibn Mishkal. And Ibn Hajr, he mentioned about him in his book Taqrib, which is a book about Jarh wa Ta'dil and the clarification of the ranks and status of the narrators and the Kutub al-Sitta, the narrators and the books and the Kutub al-Sitta specifically and some other works as well. Saduq, he said he's Saduq, meaning that he's a reliable narrator, although he's not of the high and lofty status of the Thiqat. So he said, so therefore the chain of this narration is Hassan. And because all of the narrators are Thiqat, upright and reliable, except for this one, he's slightly lower in level because of his memorization. So it's not Sahih, rather, it's Hassan, which is also good and acceptable and reliable. And Nawawi, he declared it to be Hassan likewise in his book Al-Majmu', which is a book of fiqh. And Al-Mizzi and Ibn Abdul Hadi, rahimahumullah, both of them declared it to be authentic. And he said, Hafidhullah, look into the work of Shaykh Al-Albani, Irwa Al-Ghalil, a great work in the takhrij of the narrations that are found in the explanation of Dalil al-Talib. Dalil al-Talib is a Hanbali fiqh. There's a book called Manar al-Sabil. Manar al-Sabil, and Sheikh Al-Bani, he reviewed that work and checked all of the narrations used in that work as evidence and verified them whether they're authentic or not. So in that work, he verified this narration that it is authentic. Rahimahullah ta'ala. وَفِيهِ أَيْضًا ذِكْرُ طُرُقٍ أُخْرَى لِلْحَدِيثِ غَيْرُ هَذَا الطَّرِيقِ. And also in that same work by Sheikh Al-Bani, rahimahullah, as the mention of other chains, any other chains for this narration other than the one mentioned here. He says, وَقَالَتْ عَيْشَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا مَا أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ حَجِّ مْرِئٍ وَلَا عُمْرَتَهُ مَا لَمْ يَطُفْ بَيْنَ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَى بَيْنَ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَى. That he mentioned the narration of Aisha رضي الله عنها that she said that Allah will not complete the Hajj of any person nor his Umrah مَا لَمْ يَطُفْ. Here in the work we see has مَا مَا لَمْ يَطُوفْ. This word here is a misprint. The ma should be deleted. And the wording in Bukhari and Muslim, there's no ma there. وَلَا عُمْرَتَهُ لَمْ يَطُوفْ بَيْنَ الصَّفَى وَالْمُرْوَى. This is the proper way to read the hadith. مَا أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ حَجَّ إِمْرِئٍ وَلَا عُمْرَتَهُ لَمْ يَطُوفْ بَيْنَ الصَّفَى وَالْمُرْوَى. بَيْنَ الصَّفَى وَالْمُرْوَى. The meaning is very similar, but to be precise, that's not found in the narration in Bukhari and Muslim, and Allah knows best. So it says the meaning of which is, Allah would not complete the Hajj of a person nor his Umrah if he did not make the Sa'i between Safa and Marwa. An indication for our discussion that this is a pillar. It's a pillar. It must be performed because the pillar is something that must be there, right? The thing is not established, it's not there. So these are the evidences for that. These are the evidences for that. Aisha radiallahu anha, what did she say? مَا أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ حج إبراهيم ولا عمرته لم يطف بين الصفا والمروة. Allah would not complete the Hajj of any person nor his Umrah if they did not make the Tawaf and he make the Sa'i between الصفا والمروة. So the Hajj will not be complete without that. Meaning it's a pillar and a definite obligation. The Shaykh says رواه البخاري ومسلم. Narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. واللفظ الأثر عند ابن جرير في تفسير آية البقرة قالت لعمري ما حج من لم يسعى بين الصفا والمروة. لأن الله تبارك وتعالى يقول إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله واسناده على شرط البخاري ومسلم. He says here, and the wording of the same narration of Aisha رضي الله عنها corrected by Ibn Jarir in his tafsir. Ibn Jarir, Muhammad Ibn Jarir al-Tabari رحمه الله تعالى, whenever he explaining the verse in his explanation of the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah that has preceded, that she said لعمري. لعمري is a statement, means by my life. But the people of knowledge have agreed that this is not an oath. Any that is impermissible. This is from those terms that the Arab they would say and it would come off their tongue and they do not intend it. Like Teribat Yadek or Thakiratka Umuk. Thakiratka Umuk, may your mother be bereaved of you, and may you die, your mother miss you. that's what that means. But they don't mean that. That's just the expression that they say. Teribat yadak, may your hands be stuck in the dirt, and may you be engulfed in poverty. And it's just an expression that they say. They don't mean the meaning. They don't intend the meaning. They say the likes of these words. Halqa aqra, and the likes like this. These words like this that the Arab they would say, they don't intend the meaning, but they say these terms. So from them, la'amri. In any case, ma hajja man lam yas'a bayna as-safa wal marwa. She said, radiallahu anha, that the one who does not make sa'i between Safa and Marwa, he didn't make Hajj. Because Allah, the Most High, He says that indeed As-Safa and Al-Marwa are from the sacred rites of Allah, from the Sha'air of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Shaykh, he said, in the chain of this narration of Ibn Jarir in his tafsir is on the condition of Bukhari and Muslim. Is on the condition of Bukhari and Muslim. What does that mean? It's authentic. No, it's not mutafakun alayhi. Mutafakun alayhi means it's collected by Bukhari Muslim. Means it's collected by Bukhari Muslim. This one is not collected by Bukhari no Muslim. Rather, it's collected by Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah, and it's on the chain. The chain is on the condition. On the condition that Bukhari and Muslim they use. Meaning, it's of a high level of authenticity, But it's not of that authenticity. It's not of the level of saying that it's muttafaqun alayhi. But it is authentic. So the Shaykh, he says, وَهَذِهِ الْأَرْكَانُ الثَّلَاثَةُ لِلْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ مُجْمَعٌ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا السَّعْيَ فَإِنَّهُ رُكْنٌ عِنْدَ جُمْهُورِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. These three pillars here for Hajj and Umrah, there are consensus with regards to them, except for the Sa'i, meaning that there's a difference of opinion here. But the majority of the scholars find the Sa'i likewise to be a pillar. Some of the fuqaha from the Hanafiya, they think that they believe it's wajib. That's why Allah knows best, it's a pillar. And that's evident from the evidences that have been presented here. You understand that? So it's a pillar. Now, the fourth one. وَالرُّكْنُ الرَّابِعِ فِي الْحَجِّ الْوُقُوفُ بِعَرَفَةٍ. And the fourth pillar in the right of the Hajj is to stand at Arafah. What is intended by standing is to be present in Arafah, and the place known as Arafah. Not any particular or specific place in Arafah, but just to be on the grounds of Arafah. On the day of Arafah, on the time that is prescribed. قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah the Most High, He says, فِيذَا أَفَلْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ. And if you leave from Arafat, meaning that you have to go there first in order to make ifadah. You have to go there first in order to leave. So this is the evidence here at ayah, to the end of the verse. فَإِنَّ الْإِفَالَةَ مِنْ عَرَفَةَ إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ بَعْدَ الْوُقُوفِ فِيهَا. Because leaving out from Arafah only happens after being present there. So Allah, He mentioned the fact that these rites in Surah Al-Baqarah and the mention of the rites of Hajj. And from that is this portion of the verse here. And so whenever you leave out from Arafah, meaning the rest of the verse, referring that you're going to remember Allah and seek His forgiveness, and then you're going to go to Muzdalifah, Mash'ar al-Haram. And you can't leave out from Arafah except after being there. إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ بَعْدَ الْوُقُوفِ فِيهَا وَالرُّكْنُ الَّذِي يَفُوتُ الْحَجُّ بِفَوَاتِهِ. And this is the pillar that if it's missed, Hajj is missed. If you miss Arafah, there's no Hajj. There's no way to fix this one. If this one has a time and a place. If you're not there in the right time, in the right place, then there's no Hajj for that person that year. If you're not there at the right time, in the right place, there's no Hajj for that person that year. You understand it? So this is a pillar that has a specific time and place. If that time is gone, then the opportunity for Hajj that year is over. Or if you stood in the wrong place until the time is gone, then the opportunity for Hajj that year is over. So he says, Hafidhullah, وَهُوَ الرُّكْنُ الَّذِي يَفُوتُ الْحَجُّ بِفَوَاتِهِ لِحَدِيثِ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بِنِ يَعْمَرُ رضي الله عنه أنه قال شهدت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو واقف بعرفة وأتاه ناس من أهل نجد فقالوا يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف الحج؟ قال الحج عرفة فمن جاء قبل صلاة الفجر ليلة جمع فقد تم حجه. So he says, and this is based upon the narration of Abd al-Rahman ibn Ya'mar رضي الله عنه, that he said, I witnessed the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم standing in Arafah. And some people came to him from the people of Najd, and they said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do we perform the pilgrimage? Kayf al-Hajj? How do we perform pilgrimage? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Hajju Arafah. Al-Hajju Arafah. Al-Hajj is Arafah. And he's not meaning the entire Hajj is Arafah, but this is an emphasis of this great rite. This is similar like the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-du'a huwa al-ibadah. الدعاء هو العبادة. And it's the same meaning. Not mean every dua is the only ibadah. There's no other ibadah except dua. Just like it doesn't mean here al-hajj arafah, like meaning there's nothing else except for arafah. لا, meaning that that's one of the most important and emphasized aspects of those rites. So the most important emphasized aspect of ibadah is a dua, and the most important emphasized aspect of hajj is arafah. So this is clear for the aspect, clarifying that it's a pillar. If you don't bring it, you don't have those rights. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-hajju arafah. Hajj is arafah. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so whoever comes, meaning to arafah, before salat al-fajr, on the night of jama', the night of jama', yani the night of muzdalifah. Muzdalifah is called muzdalifah, and it's called mash'ar al-haram, and it's called jama'. It's called jama' because the people gather there. Because the people gather there. So if you come to arafah before fajr on that morning, in the morning of the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, and you were at Arafah before that time, فَقَدْ تَمَّ حَجُّهُ, then his hajj is complete. Meaning if you don't come to Arafah before that time, that's it. There's no hajj. حَلْ حَجُّ عَرَفَة. الْحَدِيثُ رَوَهُ أَصْحَابُ السُّنَنِ الْأَرْبَعَ وَهَذَا لَبْذُ ابْنِ مَاجَةَ. He said, this narration is narrated by the authors of the Sunan al-Arba'ah, of the four Sunan. And this is the wording of Ibn Majah. Who are the Sunan al-Arba'ah? Yaqub. The four Sunan. The four Sunan. النسائي. النسائي. Ahsanta. Very good. Ahsanta. Abu Dawood, al-Tirmidhi, al-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah. These are the four Sunan. Mumtaz. So this narration is collected in those four books. And this wording here is the wording of Ibn Majah. وَحَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ إِسْنَادُهُ عَلَى شَرْطِ الْبُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمْ. He says, and the narration is authentic, and the chain is on the condition of al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِلَّا بُكَيْر ibn Ata' وَهُوَ ثِقَى, except for Bukair ibn Ata'. And he's not of the level of the narrators of Bukhari and Muslim. But he's a thiqa. But he's reliable. And he's so, meaning that the chain is authentic and strong and good and acceptable, affirmed on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالَ ibn al-Munzir rahimahullah fi al-Ijma'. Ibn Munzir, he mentioned in his book al-Ijma', the book about consensus, أَجْمَعُوا عَلَى أَنَّ الْوُقُوفَ بِعَرَفَةَ فَرْضٌ لَا حَجَّ لِمَنْ فَاتَهُ الْوُقُوفُ بِهَا, that they have a consensus, meaning the scholars of the Salaf, they have a consensus that being present on Arafah is a fard, is an obligation. There's no hajj for the one who missed being present there. There's no hajj for the one missed being present there. So we mentioned before, some of them they call it fard, others they call it rukn. The meaning is the same. The meaning is the same. Alhamdulillah. With this, we have completed the pillars of al-hajj and al-umrah. After this, the shaykh, he says, hafidhullah, wajibat al-hajj wal-umrah, the obligations of al-hajj and al-umrah. The obligations of al-hajj and al-umrah. What's the difference between the wajib and the rukn? The rukn is an obligation. The wajib also is obligation. What's the difference between the two, if they're both obligations? The rukn, it's an obligation that must be brought, and there's no replacement for it. If it's not brought, that's it. There's no hajj, there's no umrah. As for the wajib, then it must be brought also, and it's an obligation also. But if something happens, a person failed to bring it, he's able to rectify his rights by replacing that, by slaughtering an animal, a legislative animal that's sufficient. Understand? So when making umrah, a person will enter into the state of ihram, and he's in that sacred state, several things will become impermissible for him that are normally allowed. They're called mahdurat al-ihram. We discussed them in this book likewise, insha'Allah, in detail. And then he will come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he'll make tawaf for his umrah, first thing. And then he'll make the sa'i, and then he'll shave his head, and he's finished. This is the pillars. So he'll do this like this, along with the other sunan and the other affairs that will make his umrah more beautiful and better and more rewarding and more complete. But in general, this is what he will do. He'll make the ihram, come make tawaf, and then make sa'i and shave his head. When he shaves his head, he comes out of ihram. He's back to normal. He's called halal again. He's not muhrim. Now he's halal. You understand? So this is for the umrah. As for the one making hajj, then he will come with the intention to make hajj. Then he will stay in the ihram. And he will go to Mina on the 8th day, and then to Arafah on the 9th day, and then to Muzdalifah in the nighttime, and then he will stay the night there. And then on the 10th day, he will come back to Mina, and then he will go to Mecca and make tawaf. And then on the 10th day, after leaving Muzdalifah, coming back to Mina, before making tawaf, or even after making tawaf, those four rites of that day, they are in the word ranhat. Also, I learned this and memorized this from our Sheikh Abdul Muhsin. He would mention this. These are the deeds that are done on the day of Eid from the sacred rites of Hajj, and they're from the greatest actions and the most actions, and they're all done on that day. And this is the order to do them according to the Sunnah. Although a person, he could do them in any order. Ran halt. So the ra is the rami, stone in the jamrah, the big one on the day of Eid. And then the ran, the noon is the nahr, slaughtering the hadi for the one who has it. And the one who has it is the mutamati and the qarin. As for the mufrid, he doesn't have a hadi. And it's not necessary. It's not an obligation for him to have a hadi. And then the ha, ran halt. The ha is to halak, to shave the head or to shorten the hair. To shave the hair or to shorten the hair. And then the ta is making tawaf arifala. Tawaf arifala. So the three of these rites, all of them they have to perform. And that is the ramyi, and the shaving or shortening the hair, and making tawaf. So to come out of the ihram for the person making hajj is in two stages. First time the small one, and then the major one. So the small one comes by doing two of the three, by stoning the jamrah and shaving or shortening the hair, or by stoning the jamrah and making tawaf ifadah, or by shaving and shortening the hair, making tawaf ifadah. And he does two of these three. He does two of these three. If he does two of these three, he stones the jamrah, and that's jamrah al-aqaba on the day of Eid, and he shaves his head. Now he comes out of the ihram the first time, meaning he can put his clothes back on, and he can put perfume on, he can wear a hat again. The only thing he can't do is have sexual intercourse until he finishes the tawaf. After he finishes the tawaf, now he comes out entirely. Now he comes out entirely. You understand? So then he's finished with the rites, except for he still has to stay in Mina for the days of Tashrik, either 2 or 3 days, according to his decision. 2 or 3 days, according to his decision. So this is what we were discussing earlier. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.